Here's a question. What do all these songs have in common? You're hearing the many sounds of the Fender Stratocaster electric guitar. The all-American instrument has had a worldwide impact, is more popular than ever, and looks pretty much the way it did when it was introduced more than half a century ago. In fact, the Strat recently celebrated its 60th birthday. Guitarist and NPR music librarian Robert Goldstein shares his appreciation for the iconic guitar.
The Stratocaster didn't sound or look like any other guitar when it came out of the factory in 1954. Leo Fender's small company was looking to improve the Telecaster, its groundbreaking solid-body electric, first introduced 3 years earlier. Far more than a tweak here or there, Fender created an entirely new instrument that's become almost synonymous with the phrase electric guitar.
If you were going to draw an electric guitar from your mind's eye, most people would draw a Stratocaster as a shape.
Justin Norvell is Fender's vice president of marketing.
But the thing that connects people to that guitar and that shape is the music that they grew up on.
Stratocaster had a distinctive voice, thanks in part to its three pickups. Those are the wire-coiled magnets that transmit string vibrations to the guitar amplifier. Most electric guitars at that time had one or two. Fender also designed a new vibrato, the metal arm at the end of the strings that allows a player to vary their pitch. Then there was that supersonic solid body shape. With all of these features, you'd think the guitar would have flown out of music stores, but it didn't, says Richard Smith.
It wasn't an easy sell, because it was so radically different in so many ways. So it's important to note that it wasn't really that popular initially.
Smith is an author and the curator of the Fender Collection at the Fullerton Museum Center in California. Stratocasters hit stores in spring 1954, but the first didn't sell until that summer. Leo Fender himself had given early models to country western swing guitarists for their input, but something musically new was brewing across the country when the Stratocaster was introduced.
When rock and roll arrived, the tools for making it already existed. You didn't have to invent a guitar to play rock and roll on because it already was there.
The Strat wasn't just for rock or country players, says Tom Wheeler, author of the Fender Archives and several other books about the company and its products.
We can't understate, I think, the versatility of an instrument that was adopted by the guitar players with both Lawrence Welk and Pink Floyd.
Another key to the Stratocaster's success was how Fender advertised it.
In other companies' catalogs, you would see professional players wearing a business suit and, you know, a wingtip shoes or whatever, sitting on a stool in a studio playing an expensive guitar.
Open a Fender catalog from the 1960s and you saw
girls in bikinis and guys in board shorts with surfboards in the background sitting around a campfire.
Surprisingly, Fender doesn't really know how many Strats have been produced since that first one sold in summer 1954, but says the Stratocaster is the foundation of its business. Through six decades of musical, technological, and cultural change, the combination of innovative design in the hands of talented players has helped the Strat not only persevere, but rule. Think of the names: Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck, Stevie Ray Vaughan, and of course, Jimi Hendrix.
That's just probably the greatest 22 minutes or whatever the hell that side is of Strat in history.
That's Nils Lofgren, and he's talking about side four of the Hendrix album Electric Ladyland. Lofgren himself switched to a Strat early in his career. Today, he's Bruce Springsteen's longtime guitar player and a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
You know, it's just so many great guitars, but for me, iconically and just practically, if somebody gave me one choice, I'd pick up the Strat to walk out in front of any audience.
Now that's a birthday compliment any 60-year-old would appreciate. Robert Goldstein, NPR News.